Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Team PXY on 98PXY, the number one hit music station. It's Corey James, Breezy, and Brennan Summers from News 10 NBC. Breaking news happening.
What is happening,
right,
Brennan?
Here in downtown Rochester. We've been talking about it all morning. The protesters that occupied essentially City Hall, or the steps of City Hall, since 8:15 yesterday morning. Stayed overnight. Talked about the guy with the hammock. No police presence until just recently, Brennan. RPD has moved in and is trying to clear out those protesters.
Yeah, really out of nowhere. I mean, law enforcement was not at City Hall last night. It wasn't a marching protest or anything violent. This was an Occupy protest. They'd been there for almost 24 hours to the minute till all of a sudden law enforcement showed up, full gear, vehicles too, and their batons, and they started marching down the street telling this crowd of Occupy protesters from Black Lives Matter and Free the People Rock and other activists that they needed to leave, that they had to clear out. They wanted to open City Hall back up for employees. We saw a few of them get escorted in there to go to work with a security guard. And they've been clearing the streets and sidewalks of that crowd that was still left who had camped out overnight. Several people were taken into custody and put in handcuffs right there at the line that was clear divided between law enforcement and the crowd.
I did see that Lynette Adams is down there broadcasting live. She got the chance to speak with some of the protesters that are still there. What did they have to say? I believe Ashley Gantt was one of them, correct?
Yeah, Ashley Gantt, and she's one of the co-leaders of this movement who's been leading all the marches. And they say, despite what you're seeing, they're not going anywhere. Now, what does that mean today as we're speaking? Do they move to a different area? Do they come back to City Hall or a different part of town? Not clear, and we'll follow that. But they say, again, their demands, they want met. They want the officers involved in the Daniel Proof case fired, not just put on paid leave. She said in our interview that we had live on our broadcast when we cut in that they call this a vacation for those officers, that they're on paid leave instead of being cut from the department and charged. And they also want changes in leadership at the county executive position with Adam Bellow, at the city mayoral position with Mayor Lovely Warren, saying they have to leave.
All right. Certainly something to keep an eye on. Of course, tune into News 10 NBC. You guys will cut in if anything escalates. Right now, it kind of seems like there's a bit of a standoff between protesters and RPD. Not much happening right now, but we'll see if that escalates once again.
Yeah, again, tense, but not super confrontational. No clashes, just a few minor scuffles of when police actually came face-to-face with a couple of protesters who were then put in handcuffs.
Got it. All right. Moving on. I know a lot of people are online are talking about the fact that they literally took the flags down. They took the American flag down, replaced it with others. I think it's important that we do point out, and I've seen video of this myself, so I can attest to this, they were being respectful with the flag as far as folding it properly. It didn't touch the ground. And then I saw reports that RPD actually has the flags in their possession now. Do we have any insight on that? Because clearly that is a trigger for a lot of people, and that had a lot of people up in arms.
That hit a big nerve yesterday with our calls and email inbox at the station too. Mm-hmm. And it was so much so you mentioned RPD sending out that press release and the tweet yesterday that yes, they have the flags in their possession. And yeah, the reports that what we have seen too is that it wasn't ripped down. I know that people are still upset anyway about the changing and what they put up and just taking it down in general, but that it was handled the right way, which is a sensitive issue anytime you're dealing with that.
All right, Brennan, it's I say this every single day, but it's a lot to take in for sure. And I know that for the people listening and that listen to our segment every day with you, that it's something new every day. And I think it's important to keep in mind that they're doing this for a purpose and a reason and a mission. And this is really different. I feel it's different than what we saw back over Memorial Day, because there's an actual purpose and an actual plan of where they're going, what they want to do, what the demands are, that hopefully get met for them sooner rather than later.
Yes. Yeah, so Memorial Day, that was when George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis, being pinned to the ground by officers. Mm-hmm. And we saw the protests here the week after, and that's when we saw everything happen downtown. That was protests in reaction to that. And then we revisit all of this, even go back earlier this year to the Pruitt case in March, and finding out about it only just 2 weeks ago again, as I said. And I think it's because it was here, and it has made a significant difference in the turnout and the action that we've seen.
Of course,
and that
yeah.
It wasn't just rallying cries, which they are letting their voices be heard, but now it's, hey, we're this is serious and we want some action. And we've seen some of that. And we've also got a meeting coming up with City Council today. They're going to have some listening sessions, again, just trying to find solutions. And last night, City Council passed a number of measures as well. Like they officially pulled back that vote on the new police substation
right,
in
yep.
the Beechwood neighborhood that would cost millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And their idea there is that they're like, they know it's taking away from the community, but they don't know what policing is going to look like in the future. So the station could end up looking different. And they just wanted to put the halt on that so they can work through the Prude case. And also last night, they officially voted to pay for and fund their own independent investigation into what happened.
Got it. Yes. Right. Which, I mean, of course, you would hope that would be the case. We'll just take this internal investigation for what it's worth and move on. I don't think anyone would be happy with that. So, of course, that's the right move to make.
Yeah, and that came just days after Mayor Warren announced that her deputy mayor released this 300-to-400-page investigation that provided all the timelines from their point of what they found in the emails between staff at RPD, the legal teams for the city, of how this case was just kept in the dark for a while.
Yeah.
And it was that it was maybe not that it was trying to keep it from ever coming out, but just delaying, and covering up a little bit of the significance of it. And
sure.
We had an interview with the Mayor Warren yesterday. It was her first sit down. Lynette Adams spoke to her, and she has a lot of questions she's still facing too, particularly like what she knew.
Yeah.
She still maintains that it was August the 4th is that when she saw the video and that she knew that this was a homicide. She says that she should have known. She says everyone's right about that.
Mm-hmm.
But she's been upset with what happened with her communications department, which is why she put one staffer on leave for that. She was upset with what happened with Ron Singletary, the chief. Part of the reason he ended up resigning to get out of this, and also why she relieved him of his duties officially on Monday. And, this is just another day and another step as this kind of we follow all the angles of this story.
Brennan, did she address, I know this again was kind of a raise your eyebrow kind of thing that a lot of people saw. Did she address, and again, did we confirm that this was how it happened? Again, saw the video August 4th. Did she not report to City Council and told City Council it was an overdose instead of a homicide?
City Council members told us that they kind of found out and we did an interview with them yesterday as well, because they've had meetings, that they found out, many of them, along with everyone else, on the news of what happened with this case. And so they've got answers as well. And when you go back through the emails, and I know we're getting into a lot of this with the weeds with the case, but it's very important to figure out, there was an email from Chief LaRon Singletary to Justin Roy, Mayor Warren's comms spokesperson, saying back in the spring that, hey, it's just FYI, here's this case. Essentially, the mayor's in the loop on this. We'll keep you posted, and kind of going on. And that note from the city spokesperson, he said in a statement that he didn't bring it back up to the mayor again, didn't think he had to. But that's just kind of putting the holes in this story that has changed and evolved as we've tried to get to the bottom to it.
Got it. All right. Brennan Summer, so he's going to be seeing on this right now. Brennan, another story we're trying to get all the answers for, of course, the Kodak scandal that's going on. Got a little more info there. Kodak actually admitted mishandling stock option processes ahead of that federal loan.
Yeah, so in any other year or whatever we had, like, this might be the biggest story in the city, that Kodak, go back to this summer, we get word of this, you know, $765 million federal loan to revive Kodak. They're going to get involved in the fight against COVID, start making not pictures in film, but get into making generic drug ingredients. And it was a deal with the White House. And now all of a sudden it's like, okay, we've got claims of maybe insider trading, some suspicious stock movement. And it was put on hold by the feds while Washington looked into it. And then we got an internal review from Kodak last night that found that Kodak's general counsel, the lawyer teams there, didn't properly brief the board on the risk legally of giving stock options to the CEO, Jim Continenza, which he got a windfall out of that, cashing in of the big news this summer. So, the Kodak lawyers argue the move wasn't illegal since the deal was at a highly uncertain stage. But those were the findings, and they're still, we'll have to see. It's going to take a couple months from what we've been told before this finally shakes out. Does the deal ultimately go through? Does it get pulled? That's what we're all going to wait for, to see what happens with the future of Kodak.
Right, because there's a lot of jobs in the line, potentially, when it comes to
that. A couple hundred. They were going to bring some people on immediately already because they had to make some infrastructure change to the building downtown. But it was just, I mean, and when we go back to the summer when we all talked about it, Breeze and Corey, like this, it turned immediately when you saw everything with the stocks and what was happening. And people had questions over, man, like, who knew about this announcement and when, how much did they know what was going to happen? And that's the reason you have insider trading laws, is to try to protect everyone involved in the market.
Right.
Not saying it happened here, but there were a lot of questions over something that didn't pass the smell test at first. It at least needed a second look.
No doubt.
All right, let's take a shift here into what's going on with COVID and everything. We just saw that the list was released yesterday for the travel ban quarantine list here in New York. 7 states removed. That's some really good progress that we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, who wants to go to Vegas, right? Nevada being one of them. So this was the first time we've had that many taken off and nothing re-added to the list. Again, this is, there are 7 states taken off. You can visit them at least through next Monday at midnight or so, or next Tuesday midday till we get an updated list. But it shows progress in some of the states considered hotspots that they're getting below certain levels. And we'll just have to see, like, can they stay there? Can they hold?
Right.
I had my mom yesterday, who was back home in Mississippi, asking, she wants to come up and see her grandbaby again. Mississippi's still on the list. And I'm like, because it may end up being, if we get into October or November and it's a Tuesday and the governor says, Mississippi's better, they're off, and then we might have to turn around and book a trip real quick so she doesn't have to come here for 2 weeks.
Perfect.
It's just, those are the little examples of how this is going to work. And there's still no end date yet on the travel advisory of when they could do. I would expect it to run through at least the end of the year, you would think.
Got it. All right.
Is your mom retired? She can't just, like, come up here for a month, quarantine for 2 weeks, and then, you know, head on back? Like, she's got nothing going on. Come on.
She is retired. She has had she's dealing with hurricanes for one.
I don't know about nothing going on is a fair thing.
She's got nothing going on.
No. For her part, my mom's part, for everyone who really cares for this thing, she's been moving into a new house, so she's had a lot to do. But it's tough, and she's an example of what a lot of families are dealing with. Like, if you've been wanting to go to Florida or Texas or somewhere, or have relatives come, she could come, but, I mean, for 2 weeks, she'd literally have to stay in her Airbnb or hotel room or whatever it is.
Yeah. It's
you get checked at the airport, and they'd follow up. And it's just, and also the travel aspect of you know, she's older and, like, traveling and having to worry about picking it up. It's just too risky at this point. But my little brother's getting married in March in Mississippi, so that's a whole other thing I'll have to tackle eventually.
Fingers crossed for that.
Brennan,
before we let you go, let's tackle one more thing here. A video has gone viral. I'm sure you have seen it, of the garbage truck here in Rochester literally ripping a bench off the sidewalk while it appears to be an elderly woman sitting on it. What info do you have on that? There's a lot of backstory here. First off, when did it happen? And is that woman okay? Has anyone found her?
So, yes, we did find her. Charles Molyneux, our reporter, got the first interview with her. This was some story, and it got picked up. And the only reason we found out about it and that it made headlines is that it went viral after the corner store shop owner checked the cameras and saw what happened.
Right.
Rex Chapman, who everyone follows on Twitter, picked it up, and it started spreading. The city had a press conference yesterday to address it.
Wow.
So here's what happened. If you've seen the video, there's a woman thrown off a bench when a trash truck mechanical arm grabbed a trash can and the side of the bench and ripped her to the sidewalk and flipped it over. It was on South Avenue and Comfort Street at the bus stop in the city. This was, it happened earlier this summer, but we just found out it was actually back in July. Now, the woman says she's okay. She had some scrapes and a couple of bruises, but she's doing all right. She's looking to maybe lawyer up.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, the city wants its lawyers to loop in and talk to her as well, because they hadn't at this point. They didn't know who she was. The driver never reported what happened.
Wow.
And then retired not long after that.
Getting out of Dodge.
If you see our story on WHEC.com, like, you'll see what happens to the woman as well. And then apparently at some point the bench was set back up.
This is the best
but not
part.
Fixed. Yep. And a guy sat in it and rolled backwards and flipped over again.
Does that not just encompass 2020? Like, just that entire ordeal right there.
People were talking yesterday that Rochester just can't get out of its own way.
Seriously.
With everything. And it was
like,
this woman says she's sitting there on the bench, she's having a coffee, smoking a cigarette, and then boom, she's on the ground.
Yeah.
And
like,
then she said the guy gets out and checks on her, and then
sort of.
He took
a sweet time to get over there.
Yeah. She said he went back in the store and bought a big coffee and got a pack of cigarettes, and that was the last she heard from him.
Nice.
So
Listen,
the city admits this is an unfortunate situation,
yeah,
which they had known about it and that it was reported. But it was, thank God she's okay. I mean, it's pavement. It was a sidewalk. She goes straight first.
Now, obviously that was a mistake. That wasn't done on purpose. What I can't get over is they put it back without securing it. How is that a thing that happened? What do you mean? You just like, what are you, 12? Who are the people running this freaking city that thought that was a good idea?
Oh my gosh.
Before I watched our story live on our broadcast last night, I had not seen the aftermath of another guy sitting down in it and then flipping backwards and hitting his head. And it was just, I mean, if this shop owner doesn't upload the video and it takes off, like, it doesn't go anywhere.
Right, yeah.
Instead,
sure,
it's the whole world has seen it. And it was at least she's all right. And she's we'll see what happens if she's looking to take them to court over what happened.
For sure. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Brennan Summers from News 10 NBC. Careful out there if you see any benches, man. Don't sit down. You never know what ones might just fall over here in Rochester.
Yeah. Double check it.
All right. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. You have a great one.
See you guys. Bye.
Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.